a crime when you know that is there. Love will always abound. Now won't you just let me in your throne surround? Lord, please reserve
my
mansion, robe and crown.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. I'm asked my mic be turned up a little bit more. I feel more comfortable being able to be powerful in the mic. We are here tonight to worship God in spirit and in truth. For God is worthy of our praise, is he not? The Bible says God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It means you have to want to worship God. We don't come here out of habit. We come here because we want to sing praises to the name of God. We want to be able to praise the name of Jesus because he is worthy. There are many things we place and we spend a lot of our time doing that is not worthy of our time, not worthy of the praise. Football season is coming up and we'll be singing praises for those who make touchdowns. But for the singing and praising of God in the house of the Lord, we ought to be thankful and want to worship God. And we do it according to his will. We don't use instruments. We are worshiping as they did in the first century church, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing is our instrument, making melody in our heart unto God. We are thankful that you decided to come here tonight. And we hope, trust, and pray that something said would help you live closer or want to live closer to your life with God. If I was to title this lesson, it's going to be Anger Management Part 2. Anger Management Part 2, I wasn't quite finished last time, and so we want to jump into the lesson. Now, we turn our Bibles to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. And for the sake of time, we are going to jump right in. The Bible says in verse number 8, take thy rod and gather thou assembly together, thou Aaron, thy brother, and speak unto the rock before the eyes before their eyes, and it shall give forth water. And thou shalt bring forth them water out of the rock. Thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. I want you to ask yourself, was Moses justified in his anger? We have to understand at this time, 38 years had passed in the wilderness dealing with God's people. 38 years of dealing with the murmurings and the complaints of the children of Israel. 38 years of dealing with the Lord's people. And anybody who's held any position in the church understands that it takes a certain patience to deal with church folk. I'm going to say it for Brother Gary. Y'all can fire me. And dealing with 38 years of hard-headedness, of receiving blessings from God firsthand, and delivering them from bondage. 38 years of your life dealing with something, whatever the matter is. Some of us have been married for 38 years. And you have been dealing with something for 38 years. You knew it was before marriage, and you said, well, he is going to get better. She is going to get better. But over the course of time, you realize 5 years into it, this ain't going to change. And now you're in for it. 38 years on a job. You're going to end up dealing with something that's not going away. Now, it is Moses, a man of God, dealing with the children of Israel who are known for complaining after receiving wonderful blessings from God. 38 years. Now, I want you to understand what 38 years mean. 38 years ago, I was in my mama's stomach. So I don't remember 38 years ago. But if you were 38 years ago, where were you? That was the year 1978. Do the math. Now, I did some quick math for you, and just in case you couldn't do it real quick. If you're 50 years old, you was 12 years old in 1978. What was you doing at 12 years old? If you're 60 years old, you were 22 in 1978. If you are 70 years old, you're 32. You were 32 in 1978. And if you're 80, you were 42 years old. If you think back to that time, dealing with whatever it was 38 years ago, and it's constant buildup. You constantly see and the frustration. And the frustration is not only towards your God, but it's directed towards you. And you are doing your best for these people. You're trying to live right for God, but they are constantly not appreciative of what God has done for them and your sacrifices. So here now, 38 years. Of putting up with the same stuff he says. After God told him what to do, the Bible says in verse number 10, Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, hear now, you rebels. I'm tired of you. You rebels. Now that word he uses is contentious. Rebellious. You ever been around somebody that's just so contentious? Everything you say, they got to question it. They got something to say in rebellion. They are always argumentative. They are bitter. Bitter to the point that they say something to provoke you to anger. They knew the questioning of God would bring some, as a human nature, it would bother you. But after 38 years of it, and then now, at this point, most of the older people had passed away. And so now he's dealing with the newer generation. You ever dealt with somebody and they act just like their mama or their daddy? Now here it is. I'm imagining if I'm Moses. I'm like, no, I remember your daddy, dude. This did the same thing. He complained even the same way. And now you're coming up and you're still being discontent just as the old generation was. And now I thought that as the new generation come along, things were going to get better. But now I see the same traits is inside of you just as I saw before. And I'm tired of it. And so I say, you rebels, you rebellious, you contentious, you argumentative, you bitter people. In my opinion, 38 years is enough for me to be angry. But there comes a point where at the point of anger, you're going to have to hold that in and obey what God says. Now, here it is. He says, you rebels, shall we? Now, when you're angry, you get beside yourself. He says it as if he had the power to bring the water out of the rock. Who was bringing the water out of the rock? Okay. So now, I'm angry. I'm calling you a rebel as if I've never done anything wrong. But then now I'm saying, shall we? I'm a man of God. I'm serving for God, but I am a filthy rag. He can get somebody else to do this. And by telling me to speak to the rock, he would have been glorifying God in front of the people. But because of my anger, because I'm tired of your stuff for 38 years, I take it upon myself to do what I want to do. Not only did I strike the rock once, I struck it twice, which indicates some serious bitter irritation. I struck it. Y'all ever slammed the door? Angry? You ever? What else? Some of the other things. You don't have to tell everybody. You know what you do when you're angry. And here it is, Moses. In my opinion, he was justified in being angry, but he still had to obey God. And in doing so, he missed his blessing. By striking the rock twice, it held him from going onto the promised land. Now, I want you to see what's going on in this country. This country is dealing with something it's been dealing with, I believe, from its inception. The problem is not white people. The problem is not black people. The problem is not police officers. The problem is racism. Racism has always been the issue. What it does, it is Satan's tool, which allows a person to believe that their particular race is better than somebody else's. And because of that taught behavior, it's a learned behavior over time that you see, regardless of what you have been experiencing. Somebody may put something in your mind and you hold on to it your whole life. And you end up having some preconceived ideas on a certain group of people based on what somebody else has told you. Now, don't let somebody go ahead and fit the mold. And so you generalize people in that same category. And we have these same people putting on uniforms, being police officers. Now, we have wonderful police officers in this congregation. Matter of fact, I worked with them when I was working on scene in the field. I remember there was this one incident where somebody had a 12-gauge shotgun. It was a domestic dispute. And I realized the police hadn't got there, so I backed the ambulance up. And I waited for the police officers. They were my boys that day. I'm not finna go over there. I got nothing for a 12-gauge shotgun. And thank God for police officers being able to go and brave themselves to go and take down the man with the 12-gauge shotgun. Only after that, I have y'all apprehended him. Then I can go and take on the patient. One of the first things they teach you in EMT and paramedic school is a scene safe. You don't go on scene unless it's safe. And so we thank God for the police officers. But we realize the issue is not the police officers. The problem is the racist person who puts on that uniform and acts out the hatred that he already had in his heart and now has the authority to do as he will against the will of the law. Now, you and I have a responsibility. Young people and older folk, when the police officers pull us over, we have a responsibility to put our hands on the steering wheel. But at the same time, realize we have our rights and we must obey the laws of the land. If we're going in a 50, if it's 55, the speed limit, we have no business going 70 and then questioning the officer, why did you stop me? On the other hand, when I remember we was in Missouri City. I was surveying the land so we could knock the doors for the Missouri City Church of Christ. And I was driving my car and a police officer just stopped me. I know I wasn't going over the speed limit. I was creeping, riding around, looking at houses. I guess that looks suspicious. Cop pulled me over. What are you doing in this neighborhood? Officer, I'm surveying the land because we're working on a campaign for Christ in this neighborhood. Checked my license registration. I had nothing to hide. Everything was fine. But it looked suspicious in the neighborhood. However, I felt on the inside, was the man doing his job? Looked like maybe some suspicious activity, me driving around. And let me let you know I was driving. I was driving a little black Nissan, a black Dodge with some tinted windows and some rims. And had my window up. You know, I'm creeping in the neighborhood. It looked like I could have been casing some places. So, you know what I'm saying? If in your neighborhood, you would want to do the same thing. Somebody just check and see what he's doing. Thank God I was checking for the campaign for Christ. What I'm saying is they have a job to do, but it's on us to understand our responsibility. Now, I remember also on August 28th, I was not allowed, but history tells us visiting a family in Money, Mississippi, 14-year-old Emmett Till, an African-American from Chicago, brutally murdered for flirting with what was to believe a Caucasian woman. 4 days earlier, the assailants brought the boy out, put him with a 75-pound cotton gin, and they beat him. They gouged his eyes out, shot him in the head, threw his body in the river. 14 years old. His birthday would have been on the 25th of this month, and he would have been 75 years old had he still been alive. I remember going to the library reading about him because I didn't learn about him in school. Emmett Till was a reminder, was a wake-up call for me as a young man that they would even kill 14-year-old boys. And now today, what's going on in this country? We have killings. Now we've had incidents in our own neighborhoods that has been going on for years, but doesn't get media coverage. But now with these cell phones, things are getting videoed. And so now we remember Rodney King incident, but now it's happening more frequently that it's getting publicized on the news media because of the internet. Now we have Tamar Rice, 12 years old. Freddie Gray, 25 years old. Trayvon Martin, 17 years old. Michael Brown, 18 years old. Eric Garner, 43 years old. His last words on video, "I can't breathe." Anton Sterling, 37 years old. Philando Castile, 32 years old. And because of these last two, there have been a retaliation on police officers. Six officers shot in Dallas. Six officers shot and killed in Dallas. Three killed in Baton Rouge. And we wonder what's going on in this country. What's going on that we have to worry about our children as they leave the house? That it's no longer safe to drive down the street. And my question is, has it ever been safe? Are you angry? Do you have a right to be angry? I believe that it's okay to be angry about some injustices that continue to go on, especially when particularly the justice system does not work on our behalf for the most part. There's some obvious things that happen that we see on a daily basis, and this can cause anger to build up in our hearts. Especially when you are aware of all the things that go on in past history. I hadn't gone through the whole history lesson. I didn't talk about Medgar Evers. I didn't talk about the three civil rights workers that were found beaten and killed and every bone broken in the body of the black civil rights worker. I didn't go on to all the other incidents, but over and over again we've seen, and it can cause anger to be built in our hearts. And so, yes, we come and sing praises to God. We worship in a predominantly black congregation where we feel comfortable. But can we evangelize for somebody that does not look like us? Amen. Can we be the church that would allow it to be that no matter what has happened with this particular race, that we don't place ours above anyone else? That we are children of God, that we can stand out and be better than the rest of the world? That even in a climate of hate, that I can look at my brother and look at my sister, regardless of the color of their skin or where they come from, that I can say, you know what? I would not generalize an entire police force for the acts of a few. Right. Nor will I generalize an entire race for the behavior of a few. Why? Because I'm a child of God first and foremost. And I realize that God has made us all. And in the house of the Lord, there's no room for hatred. And still call myself a Christian. Now, we look in the Bible. Somebody get John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And somebody else give me Romans chapter 13, verse number 1 through 14. Another brother give for me John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35. And another brother give for me Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. the brother who has John chapter 4. Begin reading at verse number 1. Now, we ought to understand the history between the Jews and the Samaritans. Samaritans were half-breeds. They weren't purebred. And the Jews felt like they were the superior race. So for a Jew to speak to a Samaritan, it wasn't common in that time. And she was quick to point that out. First thing she says is, how is it that you speak to me? And you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Sometimes we walk up to people, the first thing we notice, we have to notice, is the color of our skin. Brother Barry is lighter than me. And even in our own culture, darker-skinned brothers can be pitted up against the lighter-skinned brothers. Cleveland versus the Warriors. It was Golden State. y'all lost this year. It can, even in our own culture, even amongst us, there can be a divide. The first thing she noticed was where he came from. But what did Jesus say? Continue reading.
For the Jews have no
I want you to see, Jesus was offering something better than the water that she would constantly be thirsty for. That's spiritual water. I want you to understand that there's something spiritual about when you're teaching the word of God. When you're dealing with somebody that's not a member of the Lord's church, and particularly for tonight, somebody that's not black. That we can get beyond what currently goes on. That when we see a police officer, when we see somebody who is on our job that we know does not like us in particular, you've seen them in the jokes that they tell, the things that they laugh at. You can tell it based on your experiences in your life, and something happened to you long ago that has caused you to bring that feeling to this day. And no matter how hard you try, you'll never forget how you were dealt with in the playground. Some of us had to drink from separate water fountains. Some of us remember having to sit on the back of the bus. Some of us remember what it was like to be second-class citizens. Amen. And now that we are in 2016, we thought that we had progressed to some extent by having a brother in the White House, if you will. But things are still the same. And it can cause some anger. It can cause some frustration. And what are you and I to do as Christians? We ought to recognize that the police officers are there for a reason. God has placed them in order for a purpose. But then also, the Bible says, somebody get Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even if we had somebody in this congregation who has done horrible things, we as Christians, as children of God, ought to forgive them. Some of us have had things happen to us long ago, but we as Christians are to forgive one another, even as God, for our sakes, have forgiven you. I don't have time to go into all the other scriptures tonight, but I will say, there's a level of forgiveness that needs to be there, or else that anger will sit for the rest of your life. And what are you going to say to God when you take that anger and that hatred to judgment? Lord, but what they did to me, you was there, you saw it, and I still feel it in my heart. And you have this anger today. And we as a people, we've been through a whole lot, and we're going to go through a whole lot more. But God has made us a people that regardless of color, we are children of God. We are Christians. Amen. And a Christian can forgive, should be able to forgive better than anybody in this entire world. And I say you and I. You may be angry with what the youth minister does or does not do. That's fine. But when it comes to your anger, you make sure that you are able to check it and keep it in place and don't let it keep your blessing. Moses was denied the promised land 38 years into it. But he was denied because he was angry and he let it take his blessing. Many times we let anger take our blessings. We lose that possibility for teaching the gospel or the relationship that is our marriage because we dealt with something for 38 years and we're tired of it. But God has been tired of you. So tonight we ask that you get to that level of anger management that you can forgive, even when they don't ask for forgiveness. Because I guarantee you, those who have been in that hatred in their heart won't come to you and ask for forgiveness. You got to forgive them anyway. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. By repenting of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must believe, Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We also must repent. We change our mind about the way we used to live. I no longer will hold hatred in my heart. I'm going to love as much as I possibly can. And when I come up short, God give me the rest. But Luke 13, 3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Matthew 10, 32, we must confess. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. There should be no question about what it is to be done to be saved tonight. If you have not been baptized, we ask you to be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, under the authority, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For, not because of, for remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We ask you to come tonight and be a Christian, be a child of God tonight. Don't wait. Make it tonight. You can come as we together stand and sing for your encouragement.
Girl, it's so, why will you linger, wandering from the foe of God?